Okay, turn if you would to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll do a quick review for some of you for your finals here while you're turning there, because we're trying to use our time very wisely and be efficient in the use of it, because we are incredibly concerned with time management at this stage in our life and have mastered it so well. We found that this 1 minute of time turning in the passage can be used as well. So if you have an English test for finals, keep in mind the general rule of grammar is that double negatives are a no-no. And, you know, if you happen to have the cross-eyed teacher, she's lost her job, unfortunately, because she wasn't able to control her pupils. Then this works well. A teacher says to her class one day, "Whoever answers my next question can go home." A boy throws his backpack out the window. The teacher said, "Who just threw that?" The boy said, "Me, and I'm going home." Mom said to her son, "What did you do in school today?" Her son, probably college age here, "We played a guessing game." The mom said, "You told me you had a math exam." The boy said, "Yep." So, whoever that boy is, he and I are kindred spirits. I guessed my way through algebra and geometry and all the other things. But not decimals. I got those, because decimals, they have a point. End of list there. Okay. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that will help you, I'm sure, make it all the way through those finals coming up. Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 1, the Bible says, "To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." And then we have a list of things that there are times for, all the way down through verse 8. But just to read verse 2, "A time to be born and a time to die." I'd like to speak this morning for a little while on the topic of appointments. Appointments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our college, Lord. We thank you for what it has meant to so many. Lord, we're thankful for what it stands for, and I pray, God, that as we finish out this year, Lord, that you would help us to be in tune to you, your word, and the preaching, God, and Lord, that you would stir hearts as we head into this time of summer break, God, that it'd be anything but a break from growing in you and from our spiritual lives. We thank you, God, for, again, this privilege to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Appointments. Two appointments I'd like to talk about first today that everybody keeps. There's some appointments that everybody keeps. It doesn't matter who we are, where we were born, when we were born. There's two appointments that everybody keeps. And I think they're pretty obvious for us. But number one, the appointment that everybody keeps is the appointed day of death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die." So every single person that you see, that you come in contact with, you're going to share a commonality with. And that is, all of us have an appointed day to die. And we don't know when that is. But that is an appointment that everyone is going to keep, regardless of where they were born, when they were born, their money, their stage in life. There is an appointed day of death. There's another appointment that everybody keeps. And that is the rest of Hebrews 9:27. And that is the appointed day of judgment. God has established a day of judgment also for every single human being that ever has lived or will live. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "But after this, the judgment." Now, where there's a difference is the judgment that people stand, how they stand before God. The first judgment I'd like to look at is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Let's look there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Some people, when they stand before God, are going to stand before him at what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment for those that have never turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and belief, turning from their sins to trust him as their Savior, as the payment for their sins. They either think they're good enough to get to heaven, they don't need God, they're an atheist, they're fine, their good works will outweigh their bad works. Whatever delusion or deceit that they're under, when a person dies without the Lord, their future judgment is going to be at the great white throne. Verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The books, plural, confirm that those that are standing before God are worthy or deserving of the lake of fire. The book of life that is opened reaffirms this when their name is not found written in it, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look ahead to chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One appointed judgment for those that do not know the Lord is this frightful, sobering, chilling scene the Bible describes as the great white throne judgment. It's envisioning those lost people standing before God at this point that drives us to give our lives to the service of God. It drives us to be witnesses and drives us to swallow some pride and speak with people. It makes churches that care about souls willing to put weekly soul winning and visitation and outreach into their church schedule. Why? Because it holds people accountable. And even when we don't feel like it, we know we should be there. Why? Because there's a great white throne judgment. And the Bible says, unfortunately, that that's the majority of people. It's the broad way that leads to death. And that's the way that most people that we pass by are on today. And so the appointed day of death is for all. The judgment differs on how a person has responded to Christ. The great white throne judgment awaits most, which is why we take the story of Amazing Grace out. And we look forward to this Thursday to going into Portage and to trying to get the gospel to people and praying that God would stir their hearts, convict them, to help them to think of the coming judgment. Paul, when he stood before the ruler, he reasoned with him of judgment to come. And judgment of God for those that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior coming. It's the great white throne judgment. For those that are saved, there is the judgment seat of Christ. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The judgment seat of Christ. This is for those that do know the Lord as their Savior and have trusted Jesus Christ and have a home in heaven. Yet there's a judgment for those that are believers as well. I trust that that judgment is the judgment that each one in this room will stand at one day, though I don't assume that. In a group this size, there could be someone who's been a part of a group, been a part of the bigger group, the youth group, the college, whatever group it is, a family of a lot of people that were saved. But individually is where God does his judgment one day, not as a group, not as a whole, individually. Both at the great white throne judgment, one-on-one, man faces God, as well as the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So the judgment seat of Christ is when we give an account to God of our stewardship. And once again, just like the great white throne judgment, this is done with no friend at our side, no parent nearby, no pastor who cared for us and loved us and helped us and pleaded with us. But ultimately, it's your choice, it's my choice. And how we answer at that great white throne judgment comes down to who we are, what we've done, our motives, why we've done what we've done. Have we served God with a genuine heart? Have we been open and honest? Have we confessed our sin? Or have we just sort of let things build up and because it's okay and I'm getting by with it? And we'll get by with it for a while, but when we stand before God, what tremendous loss a Christian will face if he has done things in this earth that displeases the Lord and has let opportunities pass by. Both judgments are individual. Everyone will be at one of those two judgments following the appointment that everyone will keep, and that is our appointed day of death. These two appointments were all the same. And I'd like to look here the rest of our time at nine appointments that are of our choosing. Some appointments we choose to set and to keep or not. One of them I've talked about already, but turn if you would to John chapter 1, verse 12. The first appointment that we choose, that we decide, is our appointment with salvation. John chapter 1 and verse 12. It's a great verse about salvation and how salvation comes about. The Bible says, but as many as received him. That word received indicates a one-time definite action. Someone's not saved because they were born into a Christian family. Someone's not saved just because they think they're saved. The Bible says here, as many as received him. This is a personal decision. This is a point in time decision that someone makes to receive Jesus Christ and his atoning death on the cross, accepting the redemption that he has offered to all. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Children of God, family of God, by the new birth. You must be born again. The liberals would have us say that there is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man across the world. God says, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if you have received Christ, you know it. You know it. That's life changing. That's eternity changing. You know it. Have you received Christ? When your appointed time of death comes, if you haven't, the judgment that is in store for you is the great white throne judgment. At that time, the Lord will find your name not in the book of life. The works that you've done are being recorded and will be testifying against you at that great white throne judgment. And depart from me into everlasting fire will be God's judgment on you as the angels cast you into the lake of fire. Same with most people that we see today. Salvation is a choice. It's our personal decision. It's what drove men like George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards to preach, "You must be born again," even to people in their churches. The first great awakening was a salvation to a large part of church members, because they thought their baptism saved them. They thought their family saved them. And when they heard, "Ye must be born again," it was a personal salvation challenge. And church members were saying, "Yeah, I may join the church, but I've never been saved." And maybe that's you today. It's an appointment of your choosing. If you've never chosen that, if you've never accepted the Lord, then your day of death, like all of us, is coming. It's your appointment at the great white throne judgment is the judgment that you face. And these verses ought to drive us to set aside our pride. To say, why would I worry about what people think about me in exchange for my eternal soul? There's no comparison. Jesus says, as many as received, God says, as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the day of salvation. God puts urgency on the issue of salvation. You've heard of people delay. I'll do that later. I'll get around to that later. I've got my life to live first. God puts an urgency on it. Salvation is one appointment of your choosing. If you've not chosen salvation, don't let another day pass by. Don't frustrate the grace of God. He's come to you once again. Once again. Although you've heard it, many in here, hundreds of times, he comes to you once again and offers his son as your salvation. Number two, the second appointment of your choosing is your daily time in the Word. Your daily time in the Word, where this group in here will be divided this summer differently, is some will commit to a daily time in the Word, and others will leave it up to chance. Others won't set an appointment Others will set an I wish into their schedule. I hope, I wish, maybe, if I get around to it. Others will say, this is so important. I'm setting a daily time, and even better, add to that a daily place in the Word. And at this time, in this place, my Lord will see me in His presence reading His Word. Some will set an appointment because it's that important. Others that just say, I'd like to do that. I woulda, coulda, shoulda done that. Will find themselves looking back on a summer and a spiritual walk that's the great roller coaster of life. This world is so anti-God, we cannot afford to be inconsistent with our daily time in God's Word. We need our daily bread, and we need our daily bread more than ever. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written then, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'll expect God to bless me as a Christian. Meditating day and night starts with daily in the Word, and that's an appointment that you will or will not set. We're in the set of appointments here that are optional. They're optional. You're going to choose. The person beside you is going to choose. I'm going to choose or not, based on what I think about this importance of this appointment. I've chosen, you've chosen about salvation based on how important you think it is. This appointment for daily in God's Word without a report to fill out, will determine what's down inside. You're a rule keeper? Yeah, you can fill out the report and have devotions every day. Take the report away. What happens? It's your test. It's your test. Ask yourself. Daily in the Word, is that important enough to set a commitment to put myself in a place where that's an appointment that I'll make? Hope so. Number three, another appointment of your choosing that goes along with daily time in God's Word is daily time in prayer. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, the psalmist says, my voice wilt thou hear in the morning. That's a set time for prayer. Every day. Praying over what? Praying for what? Guys, in my freshman helps class, we tried to take a couple days and think through and pray through a prayer list. Why? So the prayer, the voice that God hears in the morning, isn't words that are so general we can't even remember what they are, but they're specific requests that God hears and God answers specific things specifically. And we want God to answer our prayers specifically. And so an appointment that everyone in here will choose, yes or no, every day. You chose it this morning. I chose it this morning. Yes or no, this morning. Prayer and God's Word. How did it go? If you kept that appointment, that didn't take all your problems away. But what it did do, it added some peace and some stability and some direction to your soul in the war that Satan is waging against it. It battled discouragement. It battled tough times. It gave you some armament to go against the wiles of the devil. If you didn't, you're walking through today, a sitting duck, vulnerable, even somewhat guilty when you think about it, because the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you. Even though you may neglect your Bible and you neglect your time of prayer, the Holy Spirit's not leaving you. He's going to be tapping on the hearts of those that have their conscience soft toward the Lord. Then we get into the summer, and that's our question. That's our option. That's our choosing, this appointment to pray. Well, prayer, I don't know where praying really does that much, because, you know, things just sort of happen whether or not I pray. Oh, don't listen to that delusion. Don't listen to that delusion of the devil. That's where lukewarm Christianity starts, when the prayer closet gets neglected, or when what happens in the prayer closet is so general that it can barely be answered. Daily, in prayer, my voice wilt thou hear in the morning. That's an appointment that is worth setting and keeping every single day. But in the end, like me, you're going to choose about that appointment. Number four, the fourth appointment 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a weekly time of Bible study. A weekly time of Bible study. And I'm just convinced through life that all that is required for that to take place is for us to knock a couple hours aside of other things that we fill our schedule with in place of something that God will bless to use to stir our hearts and to fill our souls with. And usually weekly Bible study, it just maybe means replacing a couple hours of entertainment or downtime in exchange for opening our Bible up with the old famous notepad and pen and maybe some basic Bible study tools. Start reading and God will show you something, and you chase down that thought and you look what the Bible says in other places about that thought. And before you know it, you tell yourself, man, I could have sat here and listened to this Cubs game for 3 hours, and the next day, what happened? Didn't really matter anyway. Instead, I just went ahead and took a couple hours here, and I sat down with my Bible, and that I will carry with me every day of my life. It's an appointment. It's an option that we're going to take or not take, but I promise you, once we become investigators and searchers of God's word, the benefits we get back far out exceed even the mere amount of time we put into the study. We are going to grow rich and strong as Christians, or not. So the week ends. Let's get through finals. We're studying a lot. Think about the week after that, though, and the week after that, when our schedule becomes a little bit more in our control, just a little bit more in our control, those in-between times. There's some stuff we're just not going to miss. And as Christians, we ought to figure out what are those things that we're just not going to miss. Number five, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Church services. You say, well, church services, who would ever miss a church service? We're here, we are in Bible college, church services, church services. Church services. It's interesting how even Christians will make excuses for missing church. Don't miss church. Be faithful to church. What happens at church? We have face-to-face fellowship with believers. We have a feeding from God's word. Also, we have that altar call, that time of decision, where we have to decide if we are going to or not do something about what we've just heard. Don't miss church services. That's an appointment that should be kept. And beyond that, the extra things your church does in the summer. We're here in the summer, there's some extra things going on, and when you hear that, don't let that be an option for you. The extra things that are going on, we're going to have an extra prayer meeting getting ready for a summer revival, or we're going to pray, have a prayer meeting to get ready for our vacation Bible school. The kids are going off to camp, and we need some ladies to come in here and help prepare some things for that. We ought to be the first ones there for that. Church services and all the details, all the extras. It's an appointment that we will choose to go to or not. And in the end, we reap the blessing or not of that appointment. Just take away the, I don't know about it. You're free. Get there. You're at your church. You be there all the time. Number six, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's look here. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Another appointment that we will choose or not choose to go to is our regular time of self, or we might even say spiritual examination. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That time of regular spiritual or self-examination, the Bible lays that on us. This verse lays this on us. You, verse 5, examine. It's a command. Second person, examine yourselves. Be honest with yourself. Look through the lens of Scripture at your thoughts, at your words, at your actions. Look through the eyes of God and let Him see inside of you. And ask yourself lots of questions. Where am I at? What have I been doing? What needs to start? What needs to start? Have I neglected something? Have I let something creep in? And I'm just telling you, that's how it normally happens. Normally stuff doesn't come in, you know, a battering ram beating down your walls. The devil's a whole lot better at sneaking some spies in through a crack in the wall in the middle of the night when the guard's kind of sleeping a little bit. That's how he generally works. Because of that, our examination needs to be sincere and serious. And we need to take action based on what we see in comparison to God's word. Usually this is done, yes, in our morning devotion times, but I will say this. Sometimes in the mornings, we read our Bible, we pray, and might not be able to take a season of time with the Lord like we would during our time, maybe or once a week, where we take that couple hours and study the Bible and then let God really get through to our hearts. Couple hours, once a week, maybe on Saturday morning, maybe Saturday evening before Sunday, maybe it's Sunday night after church. In addition to those daily times, a couple hour block. Just give the Lord time to get through. We're so rushed, so hurried, so distracted, have so many things coming before us. It's when we slow down and stop and clear those things away, the Lord starts to get in there like he doesn't the other times of our life, and let him examine us. We do that as well before we take any communion service. If we're taking the Lord's Supper and we're doing it with a heart that has something wrong in it, we'll pay the price for that. God takes that very seriously. When we remember the death of Jesus Christ and we observe the communion, there were those in this church at Corinth that had done that unworthily, and they paid the price for it. We examine ourselves. Number seven, Acts 2:46. Let's look there, Acts 2:46. Another appointment that you and I will choose to keep or not keep this summer is our time of witnessing or outreach, Acts 2:46. The Bible says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Matthew 28:19-20. "Go ye therefore to all the world." The Bible tells us that the world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. And when "put your church name in," Baptist Church says, "this is time for soul winning," or "this is time for bus visiting," or "this is time for whatever organized visitation they have," that's your appointment. That's your appointment. Be there. Be there at that. You say, "Well, I got something going on during that time." Two of the saddest talks I ever had with college students happened 10 or 12 years ago after they came back to college after the summer, and we were talking about with one of the students, and through a series of events, they said, "Well, I really didn't go soul winning at all, didn't go out on outreach all summer because my church doesn't do that." And I thought, for one thing that I thought is, I'm sorry, that's the church you're in. If there's not something to where people have a chance to come out. But despite that, I thought to myself, do you have access to tracks? Do you have 2 feet? Do you have a mouth? Do you love the Lord? Are you happy for what he did for you? So whether there's an organized time or not, man, a Christian that loves the Lord is going to be doing something to tell others about the Lord and doing it regularly. And it happened again a little while later. Then I thought to myself, well, hey, I don't know if anybody in here has a church that doesn't have something going on. Most of you have plenty of things going on. And the pastor's like, "Get on back here. I am ready to go. We got so much happening here." Don't miss those times. If God's sending his son at the appointed time to die for our sins was so important to God, then us coming at the appointed time to tell others about what he did ought to be the top of our list. But in the end, it's our choice. Some of you high school students might not have something regularly that you go to. Most of you probably do, but if you don't, find out when it is and get there. The appointed time. Outreach, witnessing, the gospel message. Daily, the early believers in the Church of Jerusalem, they went daily house to house. We can at least be faithful to every time that our church has that time. And outside of that, being witnesses everywhere we go. Number eight, it's a little bit different, but look at Luke chapter 14. Let me help you with this one. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Luke 14:28. Here, I'd like to encourage you to set an appointed time for you to look through your financial situation, your finances. And I mean that physically. I really do. I mean your actual finances, and I'll explain why. Luke 14:28. Here we've got a guy who has a plan, he has a desire, he intends to build something. He has a goal to build. And the Bible says, for which of you intending, this is a wish or a will, to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth or calculates the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. What kept this man from finishing? It was actually really practical. It was the fact that he didn't put a calculator to what the material was going to cost and what the labor was going to cost compared to how much money he had. He just didn't know what his expenses were versus the money he had coming in. One of the biggest things the devil uses to sidetrack people from getting through Bible college is finances. And here's one of the main reasons why that is an effective thing is because inattention to counting the cost. In other words, to saying, here's what my expenses are, here's what tuition is, here's what room and board is, here's what my fees are, here's what my cost total are, here's what I have coming in. So then what does that mean I need to do in order to make this work? What do I need to do in order to have sufficient? Well, first off, I can pray. I can pray, and God, please help me. You know, this is a challenge for my faith. I don't know where this is all going to come from. Will you please help me? And when praying, inevitably, God does a couple things. One, he gives us ways that we can use our feet and our hands to make that happen. In other words, just sitting around all summer in a prayer closet, I doubt, you might get lucky, but I doubt you're going to get the old-fashioned $10,000 check rolling through. If you do, write a CEF story about it, and we'll make a five-week story out of it, and you'll be famous for years to come on bus routes. Probably God's going to say, yeah, remember that guy that has a business in your church? Or remember that place down the street that said, now hiring? Arise, thou that sleepest, out of thy bed, and take one foot after another, and do this, and you go be the best worker at that place, and God will take care of it. You go decide you're going to be the best worker wherever you're at, you'll be employed permanently. It doesn't take much in today's culture, society, to stand out. It doesn't take much. There's unlimited employment. Where I go, there's employment needs everywhere. You go be the best worker. You let your light shine, you be a Christian testimony, they're going to want to make you manager before you know it. I mean, you will be out there, you know, making double quarter pounders and cheese, you know, filet-o-fish and fries, like, you know, whipping around like the drummer that Pastor Ross was talking about. You know, you'll be up here, you will be like, you'll be fully employed. Sometimes when we sit down and count the cost, we're like, ooh, I better get going. Ooh, I better get moving on this. And I can. Here's how many weeks I've got between now and when school starts. What do I need to do? And then we do it. And then you end up with a guy who counted the cost and found out he does have sufficient, and he can do it. Set an appointment with yourself calculate the cost for what you have. Transition time in life, coming out of high school, going into college, and then that next big step, I wonder what it might be. Mike Santucci's raising his hand and saying, I can tell you guys what it is. And it ain't cheap, is what he's thinking right now. Hence, Mike's counting the cost and weeping and gnashing of teeth and still praying for that $10,000. And you know, tomorrow's quarter offering probably will go to Mike. And he's like, can we make it a $10 offering and make him raise a... It's expensive. Let's count the cost. Serving God, though, often is stifled in young people's lives because they just hoped things would work out. They didn't take the time to sit down, see what it is, and then take appropriate action. Lastly, number 9, the last appointment. This is an appointment that you create all by yourself. No one may ever know if you don't set this appointment. But you and God's people will be greatly blessed beyond measure if you will set this appointment regularly as a regular habit of your life. And that is the appointment to volunteer. No one's ever going to know. No one will ever say anything. May never say anything if you don't. But when you do, you and God's people and people that are trying to move the Lord's work forward are greatly, tremendously blessed. We don't have the money of the Vatican in our, like the Catholic Church has. We can't pay whatever is necessary to rebuild the church buildings, okay? We don't have the donors when Notre Dame burned. How many, billions of dollars did they raise in no time from the richest, quote, religious organization that exists on this earth today, and they got donations? How did that work out? That's not happening here. God's work moves forward with volunteers. Volunteers that made a decision on their own to be one. The greatest, this was on our refrigerator growing up, I don't know where my dad got it from, but he put a thing on our refrigerator, and I remember seeing it every day as a kid. The best ability is availability. And I thought about that. How more appropriate than in churches, and how more appropriate than in the summertime? The best ability? What are we looking for, ability? No, we're looking for availability. Yeah, it'd be great if someone wants to get up here and sing a little bit. That's great. That's important. It's just as important that someone signs up first in line to bring the cookies to Vacation Bible School, to sign up first in line to drive that van to pick kids up for camp. First in line, guys, to mow the grass, take care of the grounds those certain days in the summer where there's a sign-up sheet. Don't sit back. Don't walk past the church sign-up sheets. Don't do it. Don't walk past and say it's somebody else's job. The best ability is availability. I talk to pastors all the time. They need someone to come and help. And how sad it is when I hear later someone came under the guise of being a helper and they weren't that much of a help in the end because they weren't a volunteer. They would do what they were told. That's not God's work. That's not the spirit of a Christian. That's not a spirit of someone that's serving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Volunteer, and it's as simple as where's the sign-up sheet? What's next? And I'll end with this. It's as simple as day church service one back home, and I'm going to say this every day till I kick over or I'm not here anymore. I'm going to say this every May. It's as simple as, hello, pastor, can I talk with you for a minute? I'm here for these weeks of the summer. What you got for me? What can I do? Ladies, go see your pastor's wife. Hey, good to see you. I'm so glad to be back here for the summer. What you got for me? I want to help. I want to learn. Is there things coming I can help with? Let me know. Here's my number. Call me anytime. Let's see what we can. I want to help whatever you have for me to do. The greatest blessing I had was one summer, and our pastor says, yeah, take the bus. It's like, well, I've only been on the bus. I only worked with Mr. Wright for one year here. I don't know if I can do everything that he did, and I couldn't. I couldn't take my shoes off and flip around on the seat and walk on the ceiling in my socks like he did. And I wasn't going to have 100 kids on the bus either. He said, "You got the bus." I said, we'll see what we can do. It was great. It was great. That was the most fun. Volunteer. You know, I thought back too, though, how many times in my life when I let an opportunity to volunteer pass by? No one knows about that now. I don't even know about it. It's a shame because who knows what could have been done, what should have been done. The best ability that you can ever leave here with is availability. The pastor knows that person I can count on. It's not hard for me to ask them to help because they're willing to help. I know their response. They're going to do everything they can to help or to volunteer. And maybe sometimes I even have to tell them, hey, that's enough. You've done enough. Let some other people do some things. Let that be said of every single one of us in this room. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, God, as we consider these appointments, I pray that every young man and woman in here would consider the appointment of death that we're all going to face and then the judgment that comes after that death. Lord, I pray that you would help everyone to examine their hearts and know whether or not they are saved. They have that time, that point in time when they trusted you as Savior. Lord, for the appointments that we choose to set or not, I pray we would be diligent about setting these appointments, regular appointments that make our life matter for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just ask real quick, is there somebody in here that would raise their hand and say, Pastor Hermikos, I've listened to this message and there's at least one of these appointments I need to set, and I'm going to commit to God today to set that appointment in my life beginning now. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Thank you. Stand if you would, with your seat, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll pray. If the Lord's dealt in your heart and you want to seal that decision down front here today, you come spend some time with the Lord. Lord, we ask, God, that you would work in every heart here. Thank you for our student body. Lord, you know I think it's the best students that are around. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us always to examine ourselves, to not let the devil get an inroad in. And Lord, that we would constantly come back to the place of being willing servants in your work. Use this word in hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Florence, down your heart, the invitation's open even.